go along with my message, at least one passage of Scripture I'm dealing with, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And to be stepping in the light, walking in the light, God is good. He is so good to us. But we want to look in the text that you have in your bulletin, and that is Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in a church, this church, to be a member, to be able to assemble together. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Not everyone has that privilege as far as knowing the truths connected with that, or they don't know in the sense that they are in a faraway place and there's no true church close by. Lord, we pray that you would help us to count our blessings and realize what a great blessing that we have in being able to assemble together. We ask, Father, now that you would help us as we look at this passage. It's a well-known passage, and for people who have spent any amount of time in a church, and yet it is sadly becoming more and more of a neglected truth. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand that the way that we show our love to you is by keeping your commandments. So help us to love one another and to love you. For we ask these things, asking forgiveness of our own sins. We pray in the name of our Savior and our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're dealing with the subject of the importance of church attendance. I've subtitled this, Attend or Offend. And that's really what it boils down to. Either I attend the house of God or I'm going to offend the God of the house. Now, I just want to say, I love everybody in this church, the visitors in our church. And I'm going to say some things that might appear to be harsh, but I'm going to tell you right now in my heart, I love you. I sometimes get passionate about what I believe. You all know that. And sometimes you might come across as, you know, a little over the top or whatever you want to call it. But understand, I love you and care about you, or I wouldn't be putting my neck on the line here, if you will, and dealing with it in a way that I feel like God would have me to deal with it. And I'm so grateful for the gift of technology that we got today. to broadcast the truth of the Word of God all over the world instantly. What a blessing that is from God. And I welcome those of you who may be listening or watching online. We thank God for you. As I look at the webcast stats and I see people from different countries and different states listening and watching our services, we thank God for you. And we thank you for tuning in and pray God would bless you as you seek Him with all your heart. We're living in a time today in which church attendance takes on an unusual perspective. Seeing this is likely one of the most unusual years in the earth's history. I mean, in our lifetime anyway. I mean, it's just more unusual than any other year that I've ever had in my life. Church attendance has dropped all over the world, largely due to this coronavirus, or the narrative of the coronavirus anyway. But in fact, a very disturbing fact is that in the UK, mosque attendance is increasing and church attendance is decreasing. That's a sad testimony. Do Mohammedans have more faith in their false god than we have in the true God? Are they fearless and we're fearful? God forbid. Obviously, I'm not talking about somebody who's sick, somebody vulnerable because of medical conditions, or somebody providentially hindered. Understand. You understand that. I'm not talking about that. In the last days, there's going to be many signs of the times. An ungodly globalism that we see today, the abounding iniquity, the love of many of God's children waxing cold, but there's one sin that you may not think about as being a sign of the times of the last days, and it's something that involves us as God's people. And that is the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together. And we're going to deal with that later when we come to the end of the message, why I believe that's the case. But it's happening today. But we don't have to go along with it. We don't have to be deceived by the great deceiver, nor be intimidated by lesser powers of government than God. Churches are essential. We are being targeted. We are being discriminated against. The COVID-19 data are not presented honestly. The Bible is the Word of God. And politicians are trampling on the Bible and even on the Constitution when they're telling people they can't assemble together in church and obey this command. That's just it. And we need to plant our flag and say, this is the way it's going to be. You throw me in jail if you want to. But I'm not going to obey you instead of God. I'm going to obey God instead of man. The COVID data doesn't match the COVID narrative. I'd heard that in terms of the state of California alone. There's 40 million people in the state of California. And people who have COVID
are 1/100th of 1%, that 0.001. That's saying that 99.99% of the people will not die of COVID. That's not what the government officials are portraying. That's, you know, 99.99% that you're not going to die from COVID? They're acting like it's like 99.9% that you will die. This is more of a plandemic than a pandemic. Yes, it's real. I understand that. Yes, it is. And the vulnerable should take precautions, just as they would during flu season. Numbers are very, very similar. I don't know what we are so paranoid about, to where we would forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This does not warrant shutting down anything, especially absurdly, arbitrarily, churches that have special protection from the Constitution. It is, in fact, discriminatory when strip clubs and abortion clinics and marijuana shops are allowed to be open. In fact, the health department has gone on record to say that they are going to allow riots, protests, and such to continue without having to abide the health mandates that they have imposed on the rest of us and all churches. This is obviously targeted discrimination. Many in secular government have no sympathy whatsoever, no regard for biblical Christians or churches, and they're using COVID as an excuse to shut churches down. It's interesting, it's the liberals that are the main movers and shakers of this. And that's not, doesn't just happen to be. This is a watershed moment for us. This is our time to stand up and to be counted, to not cave in and be yet another reason why God's going to send judgment on this country. Because God's people fear man instead of God. Because God's people obey man instead of God. You think that'll prevent judgment? No, it'll encourage it. We like to point the finger at the sodomites and everybody else. But when the salt is lost its savor, when we dishonor God and we know better. You know, look at Israel and Judah. Look what happened to them. Churches are essential. They are the most meaningful, transformative, and exemplary of institutions that Christ has instituted, which is particularly designated to give God the glory throughout all ages, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. As candlesticks, we are to shine the light of Christ in a dark world. We have the freedom to worship here, unlike so many other countries. Let's not throw this freedom away. We're commanded to go to the church. The church is essential. Let's don't be the reason why this church would slowly go out of existence or swiftly go out of existence. Because of a lack of love to Christ and to His church. Now, first and foremost, I want us to understand that this passage in the context has to do with perseverance. And it has to do with apostasy. That's the overarching theme, especially at the last part of this particular epistle. Many times people who begin to be unfaithful in church attendance eventually apostatize and depart from the faith altogether. That's why there's a connection there. At the very least, it's a sign again of one's love waxing cold. And secondly, the emphasis upon apostasy does not excuse us from being faithful to God's house and just go whenever we feel like it. The assembling has reference to the church, and to seek to substitute it with something else, or just that part of the church would assemble, say a family meeting in the home, away from the church proper, is obviously unbiblical and scarily close to the idea that God is done with the church and they can huddle in their homes and it's okay. My parents did that. Didn't work out too good. They weren't in a sound church and they weren't saved at the moment, but that's what we did. They were offended by something in church, and so they did that. This is something you don't have to pray about. Well, should I go to church or not, Lord? It's in the Bible. It's plain as can be. Now, do we always feel like coming to church? No, we're human beings. We have frailties and we have, you know, we get away from God and or whatever reason. But that's where we ought to be. We ought to be glad. I like what David said there in Psalms 27:4. One thing have I desired. This one thing he mentioned of the Lord that will I seek after. Now I'm just going to sit and wait for God to do something. I'm going to seek after it. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's talking about now. Not talking about in glory. He's talking about now. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple, because it's a house of prayer. Nothing should take the place of attending church. That includes sporting events, entertainment events, family reunions, families visiting. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be taken care of, our families included. You know, in all the places that Carol and I have ever lived, we never had anybody visit us on a church day. Why is that? Because they knew we weren't going to be there. And if they wanted to see us, they need to be in church with us. And if they don't want to do that, well, I got to obey God rather than man. It sends a message of love to God by obeying His commandments. That's what it does. And it's really a good testimony. Again, in our text, there are people who are forsaking the public assemblies, forsaking the church, maybe out of laziness or neglect. Sometimes out of fear of persecution. That might be another thing that may be happening. And maybe we discover who's really a child of God and who isn't. They went out from us because they were not of us. It's a dangerous sin. Did you know that churches are God's means of grace for the nourishment of our souls? Did you know that? That's one of God's means of grace to nourish our souls, to encourage our hearts, to strengthen us. Psalms 92:13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Unless we're planted in the house of the Lord, we cannot flourish in His courts. That's what we should be flourishing. Not just getting by as believers. We want to flourish. You know, if you really care about whatever it is that you're planting, You're going to, you know, nourish it and you're going to water it. You want it to thrive.
God is most glorified when we're thriving, not just barely surviving. Well, let me get to my message. That's just an introduction. We've got 6 points we've got to get through. The first point is church attendance is important to God. That's very obvious there. Hebrews 10:25, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's a command. Don't do it. As a man of some men has been exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I don't have the liberty. We don't have the liberty or authority to just come to church when we feel like it. Same with work. You got that liberty and authority to do that? Uh-uh. Well, I don't like the way boss talked to me yesterday. Get over it. I mean, just really, man up and get over it. Quit whining and do what God says to do. That's the problem with Americans today. They're a bunch of whiners about everything. Suing people for this or that, the coffee was too hot or whatever. It's pathetic. We've turned to a nation of wimps. And it wouldn't be surprising to me that some country could easily take us over. God forbid that we as God's people would be like that. Would our excuses for missing church fly when it came to missing work? If the excuse we use, would it be accepted at work? I'll tell you one thing. If I made the kind of excuses I've heard down through the years to my football coach or my baseball coach for missing practice, it wouldn't fly at all. Matter of fact, I would have to be doing some push-ups and I'd have to be running some laps because I missed practice. I probably wasn't playing the game. So I'd say if those things happen and we just accept it as the way it is, those are lesser activities and organizations than the church. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater. Religious assembling was commanded in the Old Testament as well. It was part of keeping the Sabbath day holy. They had many Sabbaths. I mean, it wasn't just the seventh day of the week. I mean, they had all kinds of different Sabbaths. Notice what it says in Nehemiah 10:39. Something very similar to what it says in the New Testament in our text. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests that minister and the porters and the singers. And we will not forsake the house of our God. They made a covenant. Made a promise before God. By the grace of God, obviously. I'm not going to do it. God being my helper, I'm not going to do it. And we see the command in the New Testament. You know, what comes with unto whom much is given, much is required, right? That's what the Bible says. So we've been given much more revelation than the Old Testament saints. It's not less is required of us. In a sense, it's more that's required of us because more has been given to us. Church attendance is part of keeping the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, holy. Remember, none of the Ten Commandments have been done away with. Period. It's a full day, not a half day. This church has voted to have services at the times in which we have it. The authority has been given to the church, the keys of the kingdom. And when the church says we're having services at certain times,
if you miss without a good reason, you are violating church authority. And therefore violating the Word of God. It's a serious thing, folks. Let me say again, watching church online does not take the place of assembling together. Any more than what they used to do in the old days before they had internet, they'd watch it on TV. I have one member when I first church I pastored, well, I watched Jimmy Swaggart on television.
Oh my man.
That don't cut it. I don't even care if it was a sound church or not. You know, while we're on this, I usually come home from the service, and I'll study a little bit, and I'll look online and look at the web statcast and see how many people from different countries and different states, you know, were touched or heard the message or whatever. But I used to do that and didn't think anything else about it. Just rejoice that the Lord was giving us that kind of an audience. But I began noticing in the state of North Carolina that the numbers of those households that were listening was less than the number of households that were missing in church that day. So they're not even listening when they're absent online. What's worse is God knows all about it. There's no room for excuses or whining because everything or everyone doesn't do things the way you think they ought to be done. And that includes me. There's things I don't agree with, things I don't like, and all, but I'm not going to allow anybody or anything by the grace of God to keep me out of the house of God and to keep from going and obeying what God says in His Word. But church attendance is also important to the church. You know, a church is an assembly. Notice here in Mark 3:13, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him. That's what a church is being with Jesus. God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can be with him. And here we have an example of a local visible church, as all kind there is. This is the first church. God had set in the church first the apostles, according to the book of Ephesians. They were the first members. God called his people to himself to be with Christ and he with them. We're part of a body. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's important to us. And yes, there's always things we've got to work on. And you know that if you got something, a problem with me, or you know would like to hear something preached, if God would lead me, maybe God's used you need to get my attention, that I will listen to you. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. We need each other. That's the way God's ordained it. In one sense, we don't need each other, we just need God. But God has ordained it in a church. We need each other. It's a means of grace, again. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And that, you know, I could go on and throughout the chapter, but I'm just going to leave it at that. But if we look back at our text again in Hebrews chapter 10, notice, if you know verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. It's part of drawing to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Now, I don't feel right if I'm not in church. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That encourages me to do that. When I'm accountable to somebody else as well as God. I'm responsible for my brother. I am my brother's keeper. And let us consider one another. Forsake, but coming to church and assembly is part of being considerate. While we're on that, please let somebody know if you're not going to be here or you're going to be late. I can't imagine when I was working a secular job to not call if I was running late. Or somehow contact them. These days, I guess you text them. If I wasn't going to be there. Well, Pastor, that's how I make my living and I get money. Oh, so money's more important than God? The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Neglecting church attendance discourages the members from attending by your example or my example. It has that effect. Now, they're responsible to do what God says. We're all responsible, but what we do does affect other people. And this very sin of not attending is the reason why some pastors leave their churches, because people stop attending. Now, if they're not preaching the Word of God, well, they shouldn't be preaching anyway. Now, I'm not talking about that. Maybe that's why people do it. They want the pastor to leave. Well, I know one thing. Any true pastor is not going to leave until God tells them to leave. Not going to let backslidden Christians tell them what to do. Our primary purpose as a church body is to worship God together. Not to be entertained. Not to hear some new thing like the Athenians. Not to hear our pet doctrine. Not to tickle our fancies, not to be puffed up with knowledge, but to worship and adore our God. That's why. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. It's part of, like I said before, being accountable to one another, like iron sharpening iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, Proverbs 27:17. And of course, we've got to understand, this is another subject altogether, but why do we come? You know,
What's the intent? Again, we're to glorify God, we're to love one another. We're here to fellowship. You know that? I can't fellowship in the world like I fellowship here. You know, I can't. Matter of fact, I'm not supposed to fellowship with the world. That means when you get here, fellowship. Don't isolate yourself. That's counterproductive. Don't isolate, participate. Get involved with other people's lives that we're supposed to love and care about. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of talk. And I am sick of a religion that's just a bunch of talk. Whether I'm talking about witnessing to others or whatever. I'm sick of it. And we got a bad problem in America with it. Church attendance is important for families. It sets an encouraging example in our families. It allows children to interact with others who are believers as well. God using all of us to be a good testimony to the children in the church, to married couples. I think of my daughter Elizabeth. She's by herself so much of the time. Elisha's working so much. I think too much. What a blessing fellowship in the church can be in those kinds of cases. You cannot be a good Christian if you're unfaithful to church. Let me think about it. How would you feel, let's say you're one of the parents and you're having devotions at home. You're having devotions and one of the children doesn't show up. They lock themselves in the room and say, I'm not coming. Now, would that make you happy? Mm-mm. Or if they came reluctantly? No, it wouldn't. Neither does God like it when we don't come to His house. Can you imagine God inviting you invite somebody to come to your house and they refuse? You know? Does it make you feel good when that happens? Nope. And if it's continual invitations and it's still rejected, it's like, wow. All right. I guess they don't like me very much. Love waxed cold. God takes it seriously. We think church attendance is so important that a church clerk takes attendance. And we have in our bylaws that if you don't attend after so long, then you're automatically excluded. Because we take this passage seriously. And should. But church attendance is important for the individual. There in Psalm 73:16, it says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. What was he thinking about? The wicked, they're prospering and all this other kind of stuff and everything's going wrong. And he was kind of in a backslidden state, thinking that way, depressed state. But what did going to the house of God do for him? Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. That's one of the encouraging things, is to get back into the Word and see what God says. This isn't the end of the story. There's a happy ending to the story. We're to comfort one another with those words. And of course, Christ, we get to enjoy the special presence of Christ. He's there in Revelation 1. He's there in the midst of the churches. Again, He's there, a presence. Again, we're called to come to the church. We reject that
It's an affront to God.
Well, I'd rather just watch you online. I don't really want to be in your presence. Wow.
But that's what we're saying. We refuse to go to church together.
It's good for us to assemble together as individuals to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to grow in graciousness and humility, to, you know, there's that friction of the living stones, right? That helps us to bear and forbear, right? And the Bible talks about that spiritual food. We grow by that knowledge. Whether it's our favorite food or not, God says eat it. When I was growing up, my mom put stuff at the table, and she labored over that meal. And for me, not to eat it was not an option, unless I was sick or something. It was a disrespectful thing to do if I would do that. And it was a life-preserving thing to do. To do what she said wouldn't be very pretty. We grow in application because we hear the word and we're encouraged to do, be doers of the word, like James says in chapter 1. Again, it's like, it's an accountability issue. You know what? I have the funny feeling because I have this flesh too that I have to live with. And I have pride issues just like every one of us that we have to struggle with. And we kind of just, it just kind of rubs us the wrong way as far as our flesh is concerned when we say, when someone says that, you're accountable to me. We can say that to everyone. You're accountable to me, and you can say to me, you're accountable to me. Now, why does that rub us the wrong way? Because of pride. Nobody tells me what to do. But if it's according to the Word of God, God's telling you what to do. God's house in Luke 19:46, Jesus said, was a house of prayer. This is special. It's not the family. That's not the house of prayer. It's the church of the living God. The home is not God's house of prayer. The words are not God's house of prayer. It's not at the riverside, and it's certainly not at the beach. The house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, is the only institution designated as such to bring glory to God in prayer and sharing our burdens one with another and offering that spiritual sacrifice as holy and acceptable unto God. Well, people say, well, when I'm on vacation, I got to take a break from church. Really? As if church is a drudgery? God forbid. Again, Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Something's wrong with the hearts if that's the attitude that we got. When we go places, we need to find a sound church to attend, if possible. To think that you are spiritually strong enough that you don't need to be in church when God commanded it and the church authorized it, your pride would be the beginning of your downfall. I don't care how tough you think you are. It's an evidence of your love waxing cold. When people make excuses that don't fly, I fear for them because they're trifling with God. The Bible says, it's like there's no fear of God before their eyes. Psalms 101, verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight.
Maybe it's maybe a sporadic attendance to church. I'm just saying maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's because there's no heart for God. Maybe because they got some Christian parents or Christian grandparents that they hope to get a good inheritance from, so they're going to make sure they're at least in church some. That's the deceitfulness and desperately wicked heart that can think those things. I don't know if it's in anybody's mind here or online, but it's certainly a possibility. Do we wonder why believers are so miserable? Could it be that they're being chastened of God? You wonder why churches are diminishing and going out of existence? God have mercy on us. And upon cold hearts. Do we wonder why our nation is going downhill? Could it be that we could be part of the problem if we neglect the house of God? It's good for us, and I've got a whole list of references that says that people who go to church, people who attend religious services weekly or more are happier, 53%, very happy, than those who attend monthly or less, 31%, or seldom or never, 26%. There's a correlation between happiness and frequency of church attendance. And there's many other health issues and so on and so forth. But church attendance is important for society as well. Fifthly, it's a good witness to our neighbors. And if we're the kind of neighbors we ought to be, we should tell them about Jesus. We should invite them to church. Tell them about their need of a Savior. Because we're a church to carry out the Great Commission. But then on Sunday or Wednesday, you're still at home. Or you're cutting the grass. Or doing whatever you do. What kind of testimony is that? Not good. It's good for society to see that we practice what we preach. It is bad for our society when we don't practice what the Bible says. It's a bad testimony to unbelieving or backslidden neighbors. It sends an inconsistent and unclear message to them about the Lord's Day and the importance of church attendance. It shows the importance of having a day of rest in the Lord and compels our neighbors to drop out of the rat race for at least a day. For their own benefit. It's important for society. Again, I don't support places that are open on Sunday unless there's an emergency. I ain't going to do it by the grace of God. I'm not going to buy any food. I can bring my food. Because I have gone to places, was it Cracker Barrel, I think, over there. Off of Louisville Clemens Road. She wanted to come to church, but she has to work on Sunday. Well, that's another issue. But anyway, if they weren't open and I wouldn't buy anything, if everybody would do that, they'd get the message. So it's good in that sense. Church attendance, of course, is important to give God the glory. Like I said in Ephesians 3:21, that's our sixth point. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. That's forever. And that includes church attendance. Obedience to God gives glory to God. Disobedience to God brings reproach and dishonor to him. Would you want to do that to a friend? Would you want to bring dishonor and reproach upon a friend, the greatest friend you've ever had and ever will have, by neglecting his house? and disobeying his command and his invitation to come. Now, in our text, as we come to a close here, I told Carl I thought I would like to preach a two-part message, but anyway, we've gone this far. We got to the conclusion. The text, the word forsake, is a very strong word in the original. It means to abandon. Now, some people have sought comfort to say, well, that means I can just go whenever I want to, as long as I don't totally abandon going to church. Really? I do not have the authority to abandon the church for a day, or a week, or a month, or a year, period. Why would I look for excuses anyway? Really? I mean, it's an indicator. Notice in our look at verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That is an indicator that as we come closer to the return of Christ, this will be a sin that we're going to see more and more. And we see it happening today. We are to be ever more mindful and obedient to this command of Christ as Christ coming draws closer. We need to more and more. Iniquity abounding. What does that do if you're not in the house of God? It has the effect of making our love wax cold. Does God deserve that? No, He does not. Our love will grow cold towards Christ, towards the church, and towards fellowshipping with the saints. Maybe a person's neglect of church attendance is because you're not saved. Maybe this is the beginnings of apostasy for you, and we find out that you're not really a child of God. I hope that's not the case. And I would encourage you now to turn from your wickedness. I tell you in love, turn from your wickedness. That's what it is. And turn to the Lamb of God, believing and trusting in Him and His sacrifice for sinners to supply salvation, forgiveness, justification for all those who believe. Well, may God add His blessing to His Word. Thank you for your attention. Let's go ahead and close now with a word of prayer.